Parag above, we're up to a very, very lofty and spiritual idea. I hope I understand it. Let's see if we can work it out. Kisha Adam Misromen, Piska Dalit. Kisha Adam Misromen, the Rayonos El Yonim. Vimasim is Drochav Al Pihem. Vimamake Rucho, Ubal Shoresh HaTorah. Bitsurasa Hal Yona. Shemigamasai Laharim is Haolam, the El Yoni Usa, Hamutedes Lo, Umimela Komashu Lome Miprate Torah, and then Udvar Chidish Etzlo, Kiim Kamohazkara Lamash Yesh Kvar Bikocho, Bizeso Mitosha Hasidim Hem. Torah son mishtameres. The learning today should be as inclusive for all those that need it. Okay, so there's something very, very deep here. Rav Kook here is basically commenting on the Gemara and Brachos. Mitosh chasidim heim Torah son mishtameres. That's referring to a Gemara and Brachos that says the chasidim harishonim. Originally, the very righteous people, so they would show him sha'achas lifnei ha'tfila. Then they would daven for a sha'achas. They would spend an hour on tefila, and then they would be shohes sha'achas achar ha'tfila. That's what it says about chasidim harishonim. And then the Gemara says, but wait a second, that means 9 hours a day they were just sitting there. So when did they learn? When did the Chassidim HaRishonim have time to learn? So the Gemara answers, Mitosha Chassidim Hem Torasa Mishtameres. Because they were such righteous people, so their Torah saw a special bracha. They had a unique bracha with their Torah. Because they were so righteous, so they were very successful in their Torah learning. Now, what does this Gemara mean? How do you guys understand that Gemara? 9 hours a day, they were sitting there in the Olamos HaElyon, right? They were pondering, they were contemplating before tefillah, after tefillah, then they're davening for an hour. So what does that mean? Because of that, Torah son mishtameres. What could that possibly mean? So I think the simple reading of the Gemara, just on a pshat level, is Hashem gave them siyata dishmaya. Hashem decided that if these people are going to sacrifice so much for me, so I'll make sure that they see a bracha in their learning. That's a simple reading. Rav Kook here is mechadesh, a whole new understanding of that Gemara. And I'll tell you the way I understand it. It's very, very profound. I hope I'm getting it right. Rav Kook says that there's such a thing as Shoresh HaTorah. What's the Shoresh of the Dover? What's the root of the Dover? The root of the Dover is something that has in potential everything that the thing has in you know, before, in an actual way. So the Shoresh of a tree, that's the kli, the chiyus of the tree is coming from the shoresh. That the shoresh of the tree, you plant the tree, so anything that the tree is going to grow into befo'al, any actual metzias of the tree is found in the shoresh, bekoach, in a potential way. So too the Torah, it's fascinating that the Torah is also called an Eitz Chaim, also compared to a tree. So Rav Kook says, it's possible for a man to reach Shoresh HaTorah. What we're doing all day is we're dealing with the Anafim of Torah. We're dealing with the branches. But there is a way for a person to reach the Shoresh HaTorah. There's a person to enter into that world of where is the Torah stemming from. Possible for a man to enter that realm. We'll talk about how you do that in a second. When that happens, though, what happens to the person when he reaches that realm of Shoresh HaTorah? That means he's able to come into contact with where is the Torah stemming from? Like the brain center of Torah is actually able to immerse himself in a world that's the Shoresh HaTorah. What happens to him then? What happens to the person then is now all the pratim of Torah, all the details and all the sugyas and all the halachos are now existing in him in a potential form. It's all the Mishnah Berurahs and everything that's stemming from the Shoresh, you already know that intuitively. There's a way to reach a Madrega in Torah where you start to develop this intuitive sense and you know everything that's out there, but you haven't yet formulated it, you haven't concretized it, but it's there, you've already grasped it. Because the nucleus of Torah, you've already been koneh. Is this making sense to you guys? Very, very lofty idea. What?
The retroactive.
No, I think it's like now you have attained that status of Shoresh HaTorah. You now have possession of that, and as a result, all the branches of Torah, because they're there, the branches of Torah originate in the Shoresh. Now all those branches, you basically know already. You almost have like this intuition. I once heard from Rav Shechter that I forgot if he said about Rav Chaim or the Brisker Rav that Ve'erastich li li'olam, they used to say Pshat, Ve'erastich li li'olam, the Torah is considered a Me'urasa, Marasha Kilas Yaakov, is considered Chazal Darshan Me'urasa. A person is in love with Torah. Rav Shechter quoted, I forgot from who, when a person is in love, so do they have to hear the person talking to actually know what they want? You don't have to hear them. You can just see the person's face. You see the body language, right? You know the person so well. Maybe you see this with your parents sometimes. I for sure see this in my relationship with my wife. I can tell in a split second when I get home what kind of day she's having. And she can say the same thing about me. In other words, you build this relationship to the point where no words are necessary anymore. You know the person so well. So that's how they said Pshat, the Reb Chaim or the Brisker Rav. Why is the Torah called Morasha? Chazal Darshan Milashon Mu'urasa? Because it's possible to reach a level of Limud HaTorah where you're so inside, you've reached such this inner chamber of Torah that you know intuitively all the anafim. You can't yet put it into words, but you know it, you're feeling it already. You feel that should be Amita Shel Torah. Rav Shechter used to talk about, I remember him telling the story like yesterday about the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer once got a Shaila, his son received the Shaila, his son was the Chassam Sofer. Can you deliver this question to your father? I'd like an answer. And the Chassam Sofer was very, very curious about the Shaila. So he read the Shaila before delivering it to his father. And in the Shaila, the Shoel, who presented the question, he had 10 rayos. So l'chora yesh lahavi 10 rayos l'kula. And he had 10 rayos l'chumra. And he asked the Chassam Sofer, what do you think is the din? That's how he presented the Shaila. So the Chassam Sofer was waiting to see what's his father going to do with this. He already has 10 rayas there, 10 rayas there. So the Chassam Sofer read the Shaila. And he sat down to write his tshuva. He said, I'm sorry, I have to be mekatzer today. I can't write you a whole long arichos. But it seems from this Gemara that the psak is lekula. He quoted a Gemara, you see from that Gemara that it's lekula. And his son couldn't believe it. Chassam Sofer couldn't believe it. That was one of the 10 rayas. The Shoel knew about that Gemara. So there are 10 rayas the Kula, 10 rayas the Chumra. He had a whole, he had lists and lists of Gemaras, and the Chassam Sofer is telling one. So when he delivered it to the Shoel was very disappointed. He said, I thought that your father would go through the rayas, go through the 10 and the Kula 10, and give me an answer. So he went back to his father. He said, the Shoel was disappointed. So his father said, I want to tell you something. When I write a tshuva, it's not like first I look at the rayos and then I come up with my psak. So first I know the psak, I read the Shaila and I know the Pesach. And then afterwards, I find the Gemaras that support my Pesach. Understand? You think I look at the sources first and then say my Pesach? I know the Pesach. I look for the Gemaras afterwards. So Rav Shati said, this is a Madrega of Mu'urasa. I don't think any of us are going to reach this Madrega, for sure not in Shana Aleph, but I think there's a reason that Rav Kook wants us to know about this. There's a reason that this very, very lofty level, he wants to be Mefarsim. But there is a level of reaching Shoresh HaTorah, where everything out there, it just falls into place. And you've already reached a level where intuitively you have this chachma of what the Torah should say. And when that happens, look at three lines from the end. Mimela, kol mashu lomed miprate Torah, enenu dvar chidish etzlo. When a person reaches and attains that level of Shoresh HaTorah, then when you sit down to learn a sugya, it's never going to be a dvar chidish. You're going to be, oh yeah, you're going to get deja vu. Every time you learn a sugya, it's going to be like, oh yeah, of course it should be that way. You learn a Shulchan Aruch, for sure it should be that way, because you've already attained this chachma pnimis. Like, this is what Ratzon Hashem should be in this world. So every time you learn, it's just a natural outgrowth of the Shoresh HaTorah that you already have. No other chachma is like this in the world. No other chachma, do you learn it and you feel like, I know this already. But there's actually a way to learn every prat of Torah and feel, well, of course, naturally it should be this way. This is where Ratzon Hashem is. Because you're already at the center. You're in the nucleus. You're at the shoresh of it. So everything feels like it's deja vu. You're familiar with it. It's natural. It's a natural outgrowth. I don't think it's possible to overlook the fact that Rav Kook is clearly here referring to the Medrash Chazal, that in the womb, we have already learned Kol HaTorah Kula. And as we learn Pirtei HaTorah, all the Pratim are really just recalling what we already know. I think Rav Kook here is commenting on that as well. Does it mean that the child is learning Abaye and Rava? Rav Kook doesn't think so. This is my interpretation. It's not that the kid is learning Abaye and Rava. Not that the Ubar is learning Rav Chaim's and Rav Shimon Shkop's. You understand? But the Ubar is taken to a world of Shoresh HaTorah. He's seen it. He's experienced it. He knows it. He's at the center. He's at the nucleus of it. He's at the Shoresh. So that in life, whenever we learn something, there's a feeling of familiarity. Right? There's a feeling of, I know this. This is a natural outgrowth. This is something that's familiar to me. Rav Kook says, based on this, we can understand that Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara and Brachos that we started with. The Chassidim HaRishonim, what would they do? They would do 3 hours of Shacharis, 3 hours of Mincha, 3 hours. Anyone doing Daf Yomi here? They did an hour before Shacharis, hour after, hour of davening. 9 hours a day, when did they learn? They had siyata dishmaya. Ribbono Shel Olam sent them success in their limud haTorah. So how does Rav Kook understand that Gemara now? Not that Hashem sent them down something supernatural, but they understand Torah quickly. Mitoch shechassidim hem. He says zehu sod. What does the word sod mean? This is the secret. It usually means Kabbalah. So this is the Kabbalistic interpretation of that Gemara. Yitoch shechassidim hem terasam mishtameres. Let's see if we can connect with this. The chassidim used to sit down, and an hour before shacharis, what would they do? They would just contemplate. But what would they do? Do contemplate what? They would think about the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? How should I be mitakein my drachim? It would be maharher and tshuva. They would be kulo immersed in a world of ruchnias. And then during davening, when you do that before davening, so what kind of tefillah do you have? Your baruch, it takes 15 seconds to say baruch. And ata, Hashem, and every word you think about, and you're fully immersed in a full concentration. It took them an hour for Shmona Esrei, it says. Gemara says they davened Shmona Esrei for an hour. And then what did they do post tefillah? They sat down again, and for an hour, what did they think about? How am I taking this into my life? like what people usually do at the end of an inspiring summer at a Shalosh Shuddos of an Etzias Wach Shabbaton, they did it three times a day. Okay, then what do I do with that inspiration? How am I bringing that into my life? Now, can you imagine, like, you're an hour after Shacharis, it's like 10 a.m. now, and you're about to do that again at 2 p.m. when you sit down for Minchah. That was their day. There was a day of Kula Ruchnias. So the ma'at time that they had for learning, what does the Gemara mean? That during that ma'at time that they had for learning, Torah sam nishtames. What it means was their Torah, for them, it was so natural. The Reb Chaims and the Grashis and the Tosos and Abaye and Rava, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, it all rolled off their tongue so naturally because they were in that world. They were at the Shoresh. They experienced what Torah is on the inside. So the outside is just a natural progression from there. It's like when I'm feeling my wife, I know exactly what she's thinking. You could be sitting at a guest table, you know, you could be sitting at someone's house, and the husband or the wife says something, and we'll look at each other, we'll know exactly, I'll know what she's thinking about what he just said. And when we talk about it afterwards, it's just like playing out what we know already. So that's the madrega of mitoch shechasidim hem. Tarasam mishtameres, a person is capable of reaching a level where you're in, where you're so connected and intertwined with Shoresh HaTorah that the Torah itself is just an outlet. It's just like, okay, so now let's put into words that which we know already. That's mitoch shechasidim hem, Tarasam mishtameres, a very, very lofty level. I don't think Rav Kook is writing this because he thinks that we're capable of reaching this level. In fact, it sounds like from Pshat Gemara that this Madrega is not for us, because it calls them Chasidim Harishonim. This is the way they used to do it. So if this doesn't exist anymore, so why is Rav Kook even telling us this? Why do you think Rav Kook is telling us about a Madrega of Kesher with Torah that we don't even have anymore? What do you guys think? This is an open question. I don't know if I have the answer to this. Anyone want to suggest?
Something to aspire to, that even if we can't get there, we can get a bechina of it.
It could be. We'll never reach the madrega of Chasidim Harishonim. But is it possible, when a person spends time in yeshiva, is it possible to connect with something? This is, I think, what he's saying. Is it possible to connect with something deeper than the Rabbi Akivas and Rabbi Yishmael's? As I think what he's saying is, Yoni is correct, what we should be aspiring to is not just that we know what Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Yishmael, but we reach a deeper level. And that deeper level has to come through Avodas Hamidos and Ben Adam Lechavero. It comes from the whole yeshiva experience. And the deeper that experience is, the deeper, when you reach the core of Torah, then you'll find that throughout your life, the Torah is never going to be something foreign to you. It'll never be like a chachma chitzonis. It'll always be something that you embrace and it's going to be part of your life. In other words, the more you spend your time in yeshiva, not just connecting to the information, the brainy side of Torah, if you will, but rather you connect with the whole yeshiva experience, the tefillos, and the dveikus bechaverim, and the dibur be'avodas Hashem, and the contemplation, and the time just thinking, and the limud of your machshava, your amuna, whatever other things you're doing. The more time you spend in yeshiva trying to reach the core of the existence, and you're not just spending time on the outside, the more you'll find that throughout your life, the pratim of Torah, Halacha and Gemara and Rashi's and Tosfos, it's all going to be just a natural part of your schedule. You're never going to want to leave it. If it's just about the information, then at the end of Shana Aleph, theoretically you could treat your Gemara like you treated your physics books from high school. You know, let's not go around and talk about where that physics book is today, or what you did with the math book in the last day. Your Gemara can't be that way. The more you get to the core of it, so the more you're going to be like, I can never let go of this. This is part and parcel of my existence. So I think the next piska is very related. Let's see if we can do it in the short time we have. Yesh migama achas la Torah, the oreres atzan haruchni ha'elyon sheba adam. She asak muskalas kadoshos. There really is one objective in Torah. The primary objective in Torah is not to teach you the information. It's la'orer. What is the word la'orer? It's to awaken the tzad haruchni sheba adam. It's to take the spiritual side of man and shake it up. Make it wake up. Have that dominate your life. Make that the dominating force in your life. And when Rav Kook says la'orer, that usually indicates what? The word la'orer has what connotation? If you don't do this to it, then where is it? It's there, it's asleep. It doesn't rule your life. It doesn't affect it. So what is Torah doing? Torah is that way of shaking and waking up the tzad haruchni sheba adam. So that tzad haruchni actually has a say in what I do, what I decide, how I live my life. That's the megama achas the Torah. The information, the brainy side of Torah is the hechi timtzi. That's the way the Torah is speaking to me. The Torah has taken on human language so that it can communicate with me. But what is the Torah really saying to me? The Torah is saying to my neshama, it's time to get up and make your decisions in life based on that tzad haruchni. Make the right decisions. She asak b'muskalos kedoshos, v'yasar mishikua behemi gufani. What the Torah is doing, the Torah is redeeming man from sinking into an animalistic life. What it's doing is it's that lifesaver that's drawing man out of a physical gashmi existence, and it's giving him the perspective that he needs to make ruchni decisions. That's the megama achas the Torah. Now, if I were to ask Rav Kook, but where do you see that? I learned Bava Kama this year. I didn't learn about waking up. I learned Bava Kama. I got up to Dav Vavim Bava Kama, whatever it is. Rav Kook will say, that's the language. That's the tzura. The tzura that Torah has taken in this world is Dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem has taken the tzura of Mishpat, Mishpatim, and Nashim, and Nezikin, v'chulei. But within the Torah, there's a core. There's a deeper existence. Within that information, there's a Shoresh HaTorah. And what is that Shoresh HaTorah doing? That's awakening me. That's bringing me alive. That means literally, I can sleep through my life. Literally, I can just go through my life sleeping, without the Talmud Torah experience. What the Talmud Torah experience does is it wakes up a person. It wakes up his ruchni son. So that a person will make ruchni decisions. He'll look for goodness. And how do I increase tov? And how do I make this world a better place and a more enlightened place? How can I increase chesed in this world? If that's the life that you want to live, you can't do that without Torah, because the tzad haruchni is going to be sleeping. That's why sometimes, I think I've said in the past, sometimes people ask me, why doesn't Shalvim have like a chesed program? Especially like in recruiting. Well, you guys don't do chesed? Well, you're just being selfish? I say, no. I say, the more a person connects with Torah in his year in yeshiva, the more he connects with the core of Torah, the more his whole life is going to be chesed. The more you compromise Torah on your Shana, the more breaks you take, the more you compromise that bond with Torah, so the less you'll be driven up. Yeah, you'll do more chesed in Shana Aleph, but you'll be a more selfish person throughout life. And the more you connect with Shoresh HaTorah, your yeshiva experience, the more you'll dedicate yourself to a life of chesed. Can I just tell you a story about Rav Shlomo Zalman? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to, he never used to go to the weddings of the guys in Kol Torah. You know, today a guy has a wedding in yeshiva, the whole yeshiva empties out, you know? It's a reason to go celebrate. Even the guys who aren't really friendly, they go to the guy's wedding. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had this minhag that he wouldn't go to guys' weddings. He would ask mechila, kamin yeshiva, as a bachur. And later on in life, he used to say, people would ask me, but what about the mitzvah of chesed? Later on in life, he told his talmidim, when I was a bachur, he really used to be critical about that you're not doing the chesed of chasam v'kala. He said, I sacrificed the chesed of chasam v'kala as a bachur, and today, as a result, I go to a wedding for 2 minutes, and I'm a sameach chasen v'kala more than any of those bachrim did when we were in yeshiva. You understand? Because I reached what I was able to reach, I come to a wedding to say mazel tov, and I bring much more light into the world. So I was very inspired by that story. Because I think you see from here that your time in yeshiva, the more you close yourself off, the more you think not about yourself, but the more you think about being ma'orer satsana ruchni, there's something in there sleeping. And the way you guys sleep, it takes a long time, a lot of effort, to wake up the tzad haruchni. It's not just like, Avram, it's time to get up. It's like pouring water over your head. So to wake up that tzad haruchni, that needs a lot of yagiyah, a lot of, but when it does get up, you're going to spend a lifetime of shining, a lifetime of light. The more you close yourself off this year, the more nesina, the more selflessness you'll be spending, you'll be doing, to ad me'aviyasim shana. So invest in that tzad haruchni this year so that that tzad haruchni will shine and shine in years to come. Shkoyach. Thank you.